This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury with
Christine Wong.
I've been your brunch.
We've been asking you about the whole Airbnb thing, installing noise sensors to prevent you guys from partying. Do we have any messages? Who wants to do it?
We got a tweet. The tweet is from Sang Kanchil Guru. First of all, great username. And they say, if hosts install sensors, what makes you think they won't install other things to spy on you with? Creepy. And that, I think, is kind of why I'm so uncomfortable with it. Mm. It's kind of like, to what extent do you stop monitoring your guests?
Okay, Arv?
That's true. This one comes from William, who says that one way of looking at the device and accepting it is to think of it as a smart smoke detector. No one complains about having a smoke detector. It's ubiquitous. Nowadays, there are smart smoke detectors for sale too that alert owners on smoke detection.
I agree with that.
But smoke detection devices save your life, and this is just kind of like, oh, they're being too loud.
Well, you know, the guy got kicked out of his apartment. He lost his investment.
So he says.
You know? So he says, yes. Again, we're
I'm so skeptical. I'm so sorry.
Exactly. This one's skeptical.
why didn't they just call this a snitch?
Yeah, well,
because it is a snitch.
It is, I suppose.
It is essentially
a
snitch.
But nobody wants to call it a snitch. It wouldn't sell, would it?
No.
Hey, welcome to my Airbnb where we've got a snitch installed.
A sound snitch.
You know, we won't do that. Right, moving on to story number three. Will Google's homepage news feed repeat Facebook's mistakes?
Yeah. So it was announced, I think it's September, that Google is creating a Discover feed. It was announced as part of its 20th anniversary. And this is for the U.S. homepage on mobile. And the feature adds a series of information cards underneath the search box on the Google.com homepage. When accessed, the bulk of these cards revolve around relevant news pieces. The feed can also show like sports results and weather forecasts and will change based on your interests and search history. This is an article from The Verge by a guy called Dieter Bohn or something. And basically, he thinks this is a fantastic idea. After a weekend, especially where, people in the U.S. learned about two domestic terrorists who were radicalized by social media, Google's new effort to push an algorithmic news feed feels inappropriate. We live in an era, this from the article, we live in an era where we see real-world tragedies inspired by some form of awfulness on social media every day, and we sometimes struggle to clearly define the online causal connections to these tragedies, but over the past few weeks, it doesn't seem all that hard. So it seems like a pretty inopportune time for Google to decide to put yet another news feed in front of millions or billions of people. And Google apparently really wants to be in the news aggregation game, probably because it's a pretty good way to get people to look at a web page, and getting you to look at web pages is fundamentally how Google makes money. But the more urgent question is, what does this mean? Because if the world's most trafficked web page has to get a news feed, it has to mean something, right? So the feed itself has been available already for quite a while. There's a Google News app. You've also got the Google mobile app, and it also appears on Android phones when you swipe left from the home screen. But the point of this is that putting the news feed on Google's homepage itself means that there's a lot more traffic coming from Google's algorithmic feed, which means there's a lot more incentive for Google to start to game that algorithm as well. Mm. And the problem with a lot of the other news aggregators that we use, mainly social media platforms like Facebook or Twitter, is that because they use algorithms to curate the news feed, it's a bit difficult to break out of the kind of news bubble, essentially, right? So, like, what would a news feed look like to someone that has a much unhealthier news diet, for example? Mm. With social news feeds, viral spread of stories is a democracy-shaking problem, but one we can mostly see because it's out in the open. So how responsible is Google going to be in their efforts to distribute news? Will it increase our filter bubbles? Will it contribute to the radicalization of politics? And these are questions that we can't answer in, like, 5 minutes, but it's questions that have to be asked.
I think the easiest way, like people have spoken about this, they've said the easiest way is to have them curate the news, like pick your news sources, you know, verify them, and then only pull news from certain sources. The problem with that is these people like Google, Facebook, social media platforms, they use algorithms because it's their golden key. It's the one thing that traditional advertisers didn't have. Like, you cannot have a billboard show different ads for different people, but algorithms can allow your platform to do that. So, like, millions of people can visit your site and millions of people see different things according to what they're browsing. So they're never going to get rid of algorithms.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they keep curating news from different news sources, and I'm not even talking like CNN, for better or worse, CNN is or sites like CNN is like entertainment, and it's very, very left-leaning.
Right.
They have to pick sources like the Washington Post, which is more neutral, the New York Times, the Guardian from the UK even, those kinds of news sources where they report on both sides of the story instead of picking from one place. That would solve the problem, but they won't do that because then they would lose out on advertisers.
Exactly, and I think the one thing that we're kind of overlooking here is that, you know, for people who, if they are allowed to choose the sources that they come from, they choose to read, you know, everybody is biased to a degree on the type of news that they want to consume. You know, so if they read something and they're unhappy with that that news piece, or they don't agree with it or whatever, there's a large chance that they may unsubscribe from that and then again reinforce that whole news bubble thing anyway. We're never going to get rid of this. You know, people choose the newspapers that they choose to read. People choose the websites that they choose to read, you know. And I think trying to force a different opinion on people, although I think, you know, it should be a balanced kind of reading experience, you're never going to get rid of it, you know, because people will choose to opt in or opt out.
I think the kind of issue that the author of the article has as well is that this is a sentence. It says, if the personalized Google News feed does become a source of misinformation and or a vector for radicalization, it'll also be harder to spot. Because unlike a social media network, like other people can't call you out on what you see on your own Google. So you might not be able to kind of censor or kind of navigate, you know, whether something is true or false because the feed will be personalized. For me, kind of personally, I'm looking at this from a bit more of a design perspective. I think the Google homepage should just stay what it is. And if you want, you can go to news.google.com and find your news feed there rather than to have it clutter the homepage. That's just a design thing from my perspective.
And frankly, I don't honestly remember the last time I went to google.com. You know, I always search from the search bar of my particular browser. You know, it's rare for me that I will use google.com or whatever.
And I think also, you know, the fact of the matter is with the Google search engine already, sometimes, you know, it affects like the ads that you see and stuff like that. So, you know, adding another news feed that will be personalized to us feels like another flow of information that we have to curate and we have to kind of navigate and pay attention to. And honestly, up to a point, it is exhausting trying to, you know, understand the fields of potential misinformation and trying to, you know, make sure that your news sources aren't biased. If you are a responsible internet information user, I suppose, you know, to navigate all that, it's frankly kind of exhausting as well.
But then should the choice be left with the people using it or with Google itself? Because I'm saying that Google should be the one to curate the news. Like, they should allow only certain news sources that they verify, which is dangerous, I know, because if they start leaning towards a certain side, then that becomes a problem. But if they stay independent or largely independent, and then they allow, like, just say 20 news sites that they can curate from, and you can pick and choose from that 20.
Isn't that what Flipboard do?
Yes.
I think also but isn't the worry with that then that, you know, the websites that you don't see, you just go to by themselves, and then like you wouldn't go through them to them through Google?
This is a discussion for another time, ladies and gents. This is going to go on forever and ever and ever.
But there you go, news feeds on Google. Happening.
Let's save this topic and use it for something else a little bit later on, because we will run out of time, guaranteed. We have to take a short break, unfortunately. We've got some music coming up from Primal Scream with Moving On Up. When we get back, our final story of the day: can co-living solve millennials' housing woes? Ooh, big questions on today's Biz Bites.
Yeah.
Let us know if you are still interested in commenting on the, what did we call it, the sound snitch?
Sound snitch
in the Airbnb places. Let us know, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.